There are one of the real joys I have in what I do during the week and visiting hospice patients is every Wednesday and Thursday I have the opportunity to read Bible stories to, on the average, about 25 folks at each of the facilities that have asked me to do that. And what's so neat about it is that I'm most of those folks hardly even know I'm there. Most of the folks have dementia or Alzheimer's. But yet, as I sit and I read these stories, I see reflections on their face because they can't hear. And because they hear the stories of the scriptures. And many of them have spent their lives in church and remember some of those stories. And so it brings me to a point in my week where I can reflect on those kinds of things for myself. And I want to share one of those stories with you this morning, one that you're all familiar with, but have a little bit of a different slant on it. And that's the story of David and Goliath. You know, David was young. He was named king as a successor to Samuel. And but he did not take reign for many years until he became an adult. And so the present king continued on running the world, their world at that time. And David was learning all about what he should do. And then, you know, it's kind of like today. Back in that time, there were wars and rumors of wars, as you hear that a lot. And there was a rumor that the Philistines were going to come and attack and defeat Israel. Well, David heard about this, and he went to his father, and he said, "Father, I want to fight. I want to be part of your army that fights the Philistines." Now, mind you, the Philistines were not small people. The Philistines were very big, and some of them even reached what we call giant status. So as Samuel looked at his son, he said, "No, son, you're going to be the next reign. You're going to be the next king, and I cannot send you into battle where you might die." And David, kind of as any young boy might do, stuck his chin to his chest and just walked away. And then things happened. And the Philistines did come and to attack the Israelites. But they had a strange way of doing it. They sent one man out of their ranks. And he sent him out into the field, and he, this big, huge, booming voice, said, "I will kill you all unless you have someone who might be foolish enough to basically, in today's vernacular, take me on." Well, David heard that because it was so loud in the valley. He ran again to his father. He said, "I'm going, Dad. I'm going." "No, you're not, son. No, you're not." And his brothers even came to him and said, "No, Samuel, David, you can't do that. You're too small. You're tiny." And he said, I'm going." Started running towards the Philistine. Stopped and picked up a rock. He put it in a sling. And he began running again. And this Philistine looked at him, and I can only imagine the laughter that must have been filling the valley. And David fearlessly ran to him, slung that thing shot around and threw that rock and caught him right smack dab in the forehead, right between the eyes. And the Philistine giant fell dead. David had run into the plan that God had for him and his life. I've often heard over the years, "Rod, how do we know what's God's plan for us? How do we know? How can we learn what God has in store for us? How can we get up in the morning and know what we should be doing that day based on what God has for us to do? One of the biggest things about God's plan doesn't come from God, but it comes from you and me. We have to focus on the trust that God has a unique and purposeful plan and pathway for each of us, individually, yes, even collectively as a congregation, even when it seems that it just can't happen, that there's no way. It emphasizes that God's plan is ultimately good. We heard that in Jeremiah. And the Jeremiah scripture I tell you every time I preach, this is one of my favorite verses. And this one is too. Because Jeremiah is saying what the Lord has declared. For I know I have plans for you. Plans to prosper and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come to pay me, and I will listen to you. When he says pay me, he means pay your respects. Come and honor me with your presence. He said you will seek me and find me. And when you seek me with all your heart. Folks, Christianity is not building rockets. Our faith is supernatural. Our faith is one that depends upon trust, that we have the ability to lay ourselves in front of God and say, whatever you have, whatever it is, I am willing to give it a shot. If you trust me enough to do that, I can trust you enough to follow your lead. Trust involves surrendering control, embracing change. Just so far, those are two things that you don't want to do. I don't want to do it. When I read this, I thought, you're asking me to do things that this earth tells me I don't have to do. And we need to seek God's guidance. And there's really only two ways that I know of to obtain that. And that's through prayer and scripture. God's sovereignty and goodness, recognizing that God is in control. His plans for us are ultimately for the good, even if we don't understand them, even if we don't want to accept that plan. When I was in the business world and managing salespeople, I always said, plan your work and work your plan. Have you ever heard that? That's one of the biggest statements made by all the great salespeople in the world who come in and tell you, give me $500 and I'll teach you how to sell. Plan your work and work your plan. Letting go of our plans and trusting God's will, even when it's difficult, even when it requires us to change, requires total trust and surrender. Surrender. Being able to lift your hands up, say, Lord, I can't do this without you. I can't walk this earth without you. Folks, we look around us every day. I told Bonnie the other day, and she gets on me because I get angry with what's happening in the world. I said, it's a good thing I'm not 28, 29, and fresh out of seminary, because I'd probably be arrested for preaching the scripture the way I feel it needs to be preached. We have a responsibility, you and I, of taking hold of our world, whatever that little world that you live in is, wherever that world takes you. But it's our responsibility to make it a better place. It is our responsibility to share the love of Christ with that world. We can reflect on God's faithfulness. One of the things that, and believe me, I have no idea how this is going to happen, but one of the things that I have been told by many people is, especially my oncologist, is, Rod, you need to write a book. Your life has been a miracle. And I'm not going to go through all that again. You all know the story. But I left Randy's office, 2 weeks ago, Bon? And he came over to me, put his arms around me, and he said, I'm hugging a miracle. God has control. No matter what, no matter where, no matter who you are, if we but are faithful and allow him to work through us, just think about your life. Go back on it a ways. For Reagan and Sam, that doesn't take too long. For Bob and I and Pam and Bonnie, it takes forever to think about all those things. But we've had to trust and accept his guidance and continues to guide. We have to be able to step out of our comfort zone. God's plan may have some risk to it. God's plan may put you in places you just don't want to be. I'm not talking physically so much as I am personally. You may be asked to endure some things, or you may be asked to help others who are enduring some things. And it's not comfortable for you. I reflect back on the Sunday morning a number of years ago, and some of you will remember this, where I got a call from Bud and Ruth, or Ruth Weber, that Bud was on his last moments. And she asked me if I would come by. This was Sunday morning. We were getting ready to come to church. She asked me if I'd stop by and be with them. Randy met me at the door and he said, Pastor Rod, I think Dad's waiting for you. So I went in and I sat down next to Bud and I held his hand and I offered a simple phrase that said, Bud, God's waiting for you. It is your time now to bless him as he has blessed you. And while I was holding his hand, Bud opened his eyes and took his last breath. I said to myself then, don't you ever, God, ask me to do this again. Because I can't do it. I can't do it. So he may put us in a position where we don't want to be. Now that I do that every day. We have to be able to discover our own talents and our own gifts. We have to be able to use them to serve God. We have to ask God to help us discern his will and his plan. Discern. Teach us, Lord. Help us to discover what it is you have for us. In Psalms, it says, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. If you look for it, if you seek him, he will find you, and he will prepare you, and he will let you know what the plan is, bit by bit. Every morning when you wake up in the morning and look in the mirror and you say, thank you, Lord, for another day, may I be a blessing to someone today. God's timing is perfect. His plans may not always unfold as quickly as we'd like. Many times I'll have people say to me, Rod, I've been praying, and it's not happening. And I think I've said to you before, 75% of prayer is listening. Listening. Make your petitions known to him. And then, pardon my French, shut up. Let him talk to you. Let him guide you. Even when we face challenges, every day we do, we have to focus on the positive aspects of our lives. My oncologist once told me, he said, Rod, you're going to be okay because you have a positive attitude. And many people who have suffered from cancer that I know have been told the same thing, and it's true. 50% of our lives are lived because we are positive about ourselves and our trust that we have in the Lord. God is working everything for the good. So, as we just look for a moment back at the scripture, just briefly, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Folks, when we take control, we got a 50-50 shot. It's that simple. When we put it in God's hands, we can't lose. In all your ways, it says, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. He will introduce his plan to you. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Put your pride in your hip pocket and let the Lord have you. This will bring a health to your body and a nourishment to your bones. Folks, as I said, we're not building rockets. God's given you and I a charge. A responsibility, and bet your bottom dollar, there's not a more responsible or responsibility that we might carry than the spiritual, eternal lives of ourselves and those around us. Don't ever let a moment go by when you can't say to someone, God loves you and so do I. Because you may be the only Jesus Christ that person ever sees. Plan your work. Work your plan. Father, bless us as we seek from you the divine, the only divine word that may come into our hearts. Help us, yes, Lord, to listen. To open our hearts, our minds, our ears, and our eyes, so that we may see you, hear you, and experience you in every way. In Jesus' name, amen. Our final hymn is right here. 133, oh, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Please stand and enjoy this one. Yourself a favor, when you have a chance, get by yourself, cuddle up, and feel the everlasting arms of Jesus around you. It's amazing, amazing. God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Give him Christ, folks, give him Christ.